Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Ooh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers. I'm Adam, one of the owners here at Land Grant. This week with me, we have Walt Keyes.
Hello.
Chris Elderman.
Hello.
And Mark Richards.
What is going on?
So this is a first week in a while that we do not have a new beer coming out, which I think to Walt's relief, he didn't have to come up with a new label for a beer, at least this week. I know there was a few in the hopper. But
there's a new one next week.
So we decided that we're going to still have our episode, talk about some other things that go on around Land Grant, let you peek behind the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, we're just going to wing it like we do here.
So this is about nothing?
Just talking? Yeah. Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
What are you guys drinking today alongside of this episode about nothing?
Well, since we were able to choose our whatever beer we wanted from our selection of 20 to 24 beers, I chose the best beer in the world, Quadrahopic.
All right.
In the world? Nice.
Sure. Today it is.
I have, welcome to listening to the podcast, you get secret menu item number one.
Dr. Jamblehands.
This is, is it doctor?
Yeah, he graduated.
Yeah.
Oh. Graduated
in between,
him. Hell
in
of
between
a guy.
We first came up with it, he actually received his PhD in jambling, so.
I was not aware he was defending his thesis, but, anyway.
And what is Dr. Jamblehands?
Dr. Jamblehands is half Blackberry Jamble and half Mr. Balloon Hands, and it is delightful.
Adam, did you invent that blend this week?
No, actually. Last week, Chris brought it up. He was going to go grab a half Blackberry Jamble, half Mr. Balloon Hands, but our lines were getting cleaned, so he was unable to do so.
Yeah.
But
there seems to be some contention here, because bartender Emma claims she's been drinking it for weeks.
Wow.
Well,
wow. I don't know. What do you think, Chris? Did she get it from you?
I know I came up from it with my own head. I'm not going to say I'm the first person to do that.
Maybe it's just like chocolate
sort of
and peanut butter.
Natural,
it just works.
Yeah,
it's
a natural like conclusion.
The Wright brothers, while they were the first folks to have lighter than air flight, there was a guy in Italy doing the same thing at the same time.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Well, he was a little before their
but
time.
But he had this drawing. Yeah.
He had the drawings.
He had this drawings.
I think it was pretty much a, it was going to happen eventually. Man, this Balloon Hands, we don't have any syrup laying around. I really want some fruit syrup. Hey, you know, we have this delicious blackberry jamble.
Yeah.
Hell, why not? Let's do that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good combo.
I tried my first one Monday. It's a good call. It's a good call. Secret menu item.
I had one at the music series event on Sunday, which was awesome. And it was a perfect sort of beer garden, patio beer.
Nice.
On a not super sunshiny day, but, you know, a summer day nonetheless.
Mark, what are you drinking this week? Looks like you got an empty glass right now.
I've got an FPA, one sip left of an FPA.
That's Franklin's and Pub Ale for all you at home.
And obviously I'm drinking a pool party.
Obviously.
Because we have it back.
It's back and it's good.
It's back. Batch is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple last night chipping and my backyard.
Yeah, Adam, I've heard that you built a little putting / chipping green in your backyard. I know that you and Mark fancy yourselves pretty handy, or at least around here. And Chris, you've proven yourself to be pretty handy as well. I heard there might even be like a separate LLC for your projects here around the brewery. You want to talk about that?
Oh, the old Richards projects.
Yeah, Richards projects.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're going to give people a peek behind the curtain, I mean, why not start with Richard's projects?
When you don't feel
LLC.
Like paying someone to do something.
Yeah, I think it's something that even from the very beginning, and Walt was part of it, we did as much as we could on the build out of the brewery ourselves. And I think it made us take a little more pride in some of it. Sitting in this room here where a lot of our parents came in. I think it was Memorial Day weekend, maybe, or no, it was Labor Day.
Labor
weekend.
Day, because, yeah, it was right when football season started, if I recall correctly.
And parents and in-laws alike in here with paintbrushes, painting doors and walls and ceilings.
Original intern, Julie Keyes, who's now full-time employee and podcast producer here at Land Grant. She was in law school at the time.
But yeah, our kind of first major Brichard's project we took on was putting in the original patio, or actually it's the second patio. The original patio was at the level of the parking lot. Then after about 8 months, we decided to raise it up and put those glass doors in. And when we were looking at furniture, we kind of designed these wood benches and felt like that could be something that we could put in. And Mark and I ordered the wood from Menards, saved big money.
We saved a little bit of money.
We've saved a lot of money at Menards over
but
the years.
I'll tell you, we saved a lot of money on that project and a lot of projects. And that DIY is always fun to... It's fun to sit on a bench that you made as much as, Chris, it's great to drink a beer that you brewed.
Yeah, it was definitely one that we did on-the-fly carpentry. We kind of mapped out a little bit of the plans in SketchUp, but took us a while. We definitely had to change some angles and length of certain things on the benches as we went.
Yeah, I cut it three times. It was still too short.
I think we did all right on our cuts. You just basically got to pick a corner and go with it.
We built out the fire pits. They plumbed the gas, but Mark had the idea of putting concrete block, gluing it together, and putting some lava rock, and worked out really well.
Yeah.
Could use a little re-glue before fire pit season,
yeah,
as usual.
But what we with the new beer garden, we had a lot of that same momentum and attitude that we were going to try to knock out as much as we could. And we did, 95% of the fence that was put up. But the issue is around here in Franklinton, that where the beer garden was used to be houses that have been since torn down. And they didn't haul away any of those houses. They just pushed them into the foundation. So as you're digging 3-foot holes to put in fence posts, you hit some bricks, you hit street bricks, you hit what used to be maybe sidewalk or something like that. So that was that took a lot out of us.
It's good, yeah, and good exercise.
If it kind of looks like we did it ourselves, we're working on tuning it up. So it's been an ongoing project. So it's continuing to improve and adding some new items. Got some cornhole boards we're going to toss out there soon.
We got
turf grass.
2,500 pounds of field turf. From some soccer field in somewhere.
Yeah, so this would have been, it was torn out of an old high school, so we're reusing, repurposing something that didn't go to waste. It looks pretty good. Took us a while to get it off the truck today, but add some greenery and some soft surfaces to that beer garden. See a lot of dogs running around while you're listening potentially to the music here on a Sunday with your family. Want to sit down in the field turf, and it's going to be right in front of the stage if we figure out how to install it, because as Walt said, it's 2,500 pounds and our forklift doesn't drive in gravel.
Walt says get 25 people.
25
it's not
people,
that
it's
much.
Only 100 pounds each.
See? Just how Mark and I forklift handle that.
Yeah, easy math.
It's right at the limit. We're at 3,000 pounds on that forklift.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little hairy getting it off there. So also DIY projects, Brichard's projects, and we're very fortunate to have Columbus Idea Foundry right here behind us on the backside of Chapel. So we make all our tap panels over there. Adam,
our backdoor neighbors.
Yeah, Adam started. Tell about the story of how the tap panels began.
As Mark said, shout out to the Idea Foundry, who will be having their 10th anniversary coming up here that we're partnering with on the Franklinton Barbecue. I don't know the official name. Walt, why don't you talk about the details of that event?
Great segue into our event section here. But yeah, we're calling it the Backyard Barbecue, with the idea that we're inviting the neighbors over to have sort of a fun potluck barbecue extravaganza. And yeah, we were kind of planning an event anyway. We found out it was their 10th anniversary, so it really made sense to sort of join forces on this event. And then beyond Idea Foundry, 400 West Rich, our neighbors across Town Street, Rehab, Brewdog, Vandarelli Room, Glass Axes.
Jim Sweeney.
I'm sure Jim Sweeney will be there. His attendance is required. And a bunch of good folks from our corner of Franklinton will be here. A lot of good stuff going on. A lot of music. We just announced the music lineup.
It's online.
Online. I'm really looking forward to seeing Osage play again. That's Tony.
So
now.
Good. So tasty.
Well, I guess he's a little delivery driver, but
warehouse
his funk band is playing.
He's a warehouse.
They're playing at 7 p.m.
Inventory guy.
Be there. We're going to have a dunk tank that we were originally going to get for the pool party.
Oh, the dunk tank from the pool party.
The dunk tank will be here. We're getting a fun lineup of people that you can come down here and dunk in the dunk tank.
We didn't want to lose that deposit, which is good.
Yeah. And the proceeds from the dunk tank are all going to go to benefit the Dick and Jane Project, which is a youth outreach program that focuses around music and songwriting. So it's going to be a big day, a lot going on. Art, music, food, Idea Foundry, mischief.
They're going to have giant games.
Yeah, giant games.
Oversized. Will they have life-size Jenga?
They will have oversized Jenga.
Oversized life-size Jenga.
We're going to have oversized checkers where they're having artists paint all of the tiles on the checkerboard, which would be cool.
And that's you need an artist to paint, like, just red and black?
I think there will be more to it.
They're
going to
be a little more to it than that. I think they're leaving, the red one. Or one of them will be left blank, and the others will be painted. And that's actually going to live at Land Grant most of the time. So if you can't make it to the barbecue, you can at least come check that out.
So you mentioned it's a potluck. Is it really a potluck?
No, not really.
Are you going to make something in your instant?
I don't think someone wants to bring a crock pot of chili to this thing. I mean, I'm sure it'll get eaten. But no, Ray Ray's is sort of curating a list of delicious barbecue-centric, cookout-centric food. You know, Pork Kettle will be here. Moe's Barbecue, which I believe is up from their neighborhood in Granville. So a lot of good stuff, a lot of good food, a lot of good beer. A lot of good fun, a lot of good art, music, all that stuff that you come to expect down here in Franklinton.
So yeah, it's great having the Idea Foundry as neighbors. They were on the east side prior to coming here. They opened up about 4 or 5 months before we did down here in Franklinton. They actually allowed us to run about 100-foot hose from their back of their building into our building when we didn't have water. And a few of us spent multiple days pressure washing, getting all the paint off the walls here. Mm-hmm. So shout out to all the folks over there, Alex
and
Matt, for helping us out, getting everything going off the ground. But yeah.
They've gotten us out of multiple jams.
They're fantastic. Fantastic neighbors. Oh, yeah. And we joked when we were building the brewery, other than having a Home Depot next door, it was probably the best thing. But we've definitely gotten way more out of that than just borrowing tools from them. For those of you that are not familiar with the Columbus Idea Foundry, they're a makerspace, and I always say that what makerspaces, what they really are, what I generally say is that instead of building a home gym, you may go join Bally's or LA Fitness or something like that, whereas instead of putting a wood shop in your garage or a metal shop, you go join a makerspace, and they have all the tools and equipment that you're able to use, but generally they're also of much higher quality than you'd probably get for yourself, because there are professionals that work out of there, cabinet makers, furniture makers, laser enthusiasts, I guess, laser companies that put together these items. There's CNC machine, there is CO2 laser that allows you to do a lot of different things. So with that being next door, it started out of necessity that we needed tap handles. And for those, if you're not really familiar with brewery point of sale items, tap handles are generally very expensive, anywhere from $25 to $40, maybe even $50 for the more intricate ones you see. Bars, when you deliver a keg, they're not buying that tap handle. You're giving them that tap handle as a point of sale item. So it can get very costly.
And you're never going to see it again.
Sometimes we see some.
So when we started out, we said, okay, we need some tap handles. We needed them for our tap room, but we also were going to need them for the bars and restaurants we were selling to. So we actually worked with some of our neighbors to come up with some ideas. And this simplistic 2x2 square rectangle kind of design really stood out. And I sat there and go, they have a laser next door. We might be able to do this ourselves. So went to Home Depot and bought some 2x2. Originally, we used oak. And then we definitely learned throughout the years the more efficient way to do it.
There has been some evolution.
But if you've seen some of the original ones, they were oak that were stained. And then we wrapped them in masking tape and lasered away the masking tape and then painted. So it was almost like a whitewash, but unfortunately that bled a little bit. After a while, we just did generic handles. They just said Land Grant on them, but we realized, well, we got this laser next door. It really isn't that hard to change up what we're putting into the file. So we started doing a handle for every beer. So whether it's a small beer we do or a big launch, we started looking at different ways to do it. So now the process, we go over there, cut them, then we paint them over here. We have built these racks that will paint those handles, and then we laser away the paint with Landgren on one side and the name of the beer and the style on the other. So that started out. I would go over there. That's when I would have my dog would come to work. I would take him to work every day, and the laser was in its own room, so I could close the door. I could take phone calls. It was kind of like my own private office that I could kind of get away. Did that for about a year, and then once Mark started, passed it on to him, and Mark did that for probably about a year. And then Jacob, who is lead on the canning line, has now taken that over. So sometimes even on days they're canning, you might see Jacob in the back alley spray painting tap handles or over at the Idea Foundry. And he's really done a great job advancing how they look with some of his designs. You may see him with
there's been some art involved.
He's doing cool gradients and all kinds of fun stuff.
With Adam, that being his office, that's actually the first phone call I had with Adam. He said, I think we were actually like Skyping or something, and he said, hold on a second, I'm actually lasering some tap handles right now. You should still be able to hear me.
These handles.
We had to flip. We used to do them one at a time. So if you're ever in the Kickstarter room, we used to just show about four videos. Now there's about 12 or so. So you may miss it, but one of the videos is that process of putting together those tap handles, and you can see priming them and painting them. Gus, my Basset Hound, shows up on the video, and then the short walk across the alley, and we did do them one at a time, and we've learned quite a bit over the time, and they've even upgraded their laser that we're able to do a lot more at once. I was over there today, actually. We do these little beer tokens. So if you've ever seen, we have these little quarter-sized red acrylic tokens that you may see us at a game or just randomly out. You're wearing a Landgren hat. Someone may throw a token your way and get you a beer down here at the tap room.
And thanks for repping.
Thanks for repping. As we get closer to the party, it's August 18th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I probably didn't mention the date. Yeah, August 18th, Saturday, August 18th.
As we get closer, I'm sure we'll have Alex on the podcast. You can learn a little bit more about the Idea Foundry. Chris and I took a class together on welding over there.
Yeah, we made a glorious fountain. I don't know where that fountain went. But
I was wondering, where is that? Is it on top of a cooler, maybe?
I thought Lauren would want it in the garden, and she did not.
We should put that in the beer garden, maybe.
Whoa. We might be able to find it.
I don't.
Can we find this thing? It might be on a cooler.
I have no idea where it is, but it was it was real mediocre. But you know, we learned how to weld.
I thought it was epic. I think it was a great job for a first time weld.
Yeah, I think some of the other Mark mentioned the brewing aspect of the DIY. I know, Chris, you're brewing on the pilot system today. That's definitely something. Those Brewers Series beers. We did have an episode on that, but is more on that less structured, I guess, environment. You want to touch on some of on that?
Yeah, so the pilot system, so there's four brewers, and there's really three jobs that have to get done every day. Two people actually brewing and one person in the cellar. I kind of have to do a lot of paperwork with my role and everything, but occasionally I get out and we can either do a pilot batch where I'll do the pilot batch, or I'll cover someone else's shift and they get to do a pilot batch. So it's a lot of fun. So our big system is pretty manual as it is, but the smaller system is even more manual. So it lets you get a little more intimate with the beer. And you can actually brew a little quicker on it, so it's a bit of a quicker day. And it's nice and fun. We can go absolutely crazy on it and do, off-the-wall things. Or we can, like today, we brewed an 80 shilling, I think. With some new Scottish malt that our friends at Country Malt Group were kind enough to donate to see how it works for this brew. And one of their
Jeff had an absolute ball brewing with you today, by the way.
Our sales rep Jeff, he came out. He used to be a brewer, and he got back on the system, and he was having a lot of fun. So let's put it this way: no one's breaking on the doors for a 90 shilling Scottish ale.
At the same time, though, for wanting to showcase a malt, that would be an excellent showcase on the malt to really see what that grain's like.
What's the origin of that name, 90 shilling, that style?
How much it cost. Okay. I think it was the cost of the ingredients, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be mistaken.
Got it.
But it's just a small malty beer. But like I said, no one's breaking down the door for it, so we can't really. It wouldn't make sense for us to do it on the big system and, you know, put it into package because it's just going to go sit on shelves. Whereas if we just have it on the Brewers Series in the tap room, we move through it pretty quickly. People like there's a lot of people like maltier beers. I'm one of those people. Franklin and Pub Ale, that is one of my favorite beers, and it'll be pretty similar to that. So yeah, we get to do fun things like that. We use the pilot system to prop up our lactic acid bacteria. We use to make our sours, lactobacillus and some Brevis. So yeah, then we get to put that in the big system. But our fermenter we use for sours is too small to do 24 barrels in. So that's where we get the evolution of Sour Hoppy Fun Time. So we get to use it for that. The newest iteration of Sour Hoppy Fun Time is around 7%. It is very sour, and we're pretty excited about it. The base batch of that was batch 500, which has I think it was touched on earlier. It's plum and cherries fruited. So all the brewers are really excited about that. It's the most sour beer we've ever made, and it should taste delicious. It's tasting pretty good out of the fermenter right now, and it is almost done.
Yeah, and that's coming out next week, next Wednesday.
I believe so.
Yes. Cans and draft.
But mainly the pilot system, we do use it for, well, if you have been in the tap room in the last couple months or a couple weeks, you may have seen a blackberry cream ale that was the pilot version of Jamble. We did we want to make sure we got the fruiting right, so that was on there. Pale Blue Sky, we had a pilot batch on that. But a lot of times it's just cool stuff that the brewers wanted to do that... frankly, is not going to sell in the wide open market, so we get to have a little fun.
Adam, we got to get some time with Chris on that pilot system. Get loosened up a little bit on some time.
Oh, get back in the saddle?
Yeah. I always tell people when they ask about, you know, do I still get to brew or anything like that, and my message is if you really enjoy brewing, don't start a brewery.
Yeah.
I think the last batch that I brewed was... I'm trying to think here. It might have been one of the crew beers that we did during Glory.
I believe that's correct.
Well, let's put it this way. My three-year anniversary is in 9 days, and you have not brewed a batch of beers since I've been here.
Man, let's brew with Chris for an anniversary party.
Yeah, that might be one to get back on.
I'll tell you, there was a time when, and on Adam's old homebrew system that became our old pilot system, we had... gotten down to two beers because our couple sales guys had just sold us out of beer in the tap room completely. And we were on about the last third of a keg on beer number two. We were going to be down to one beer by the end of the night. And we went and brainstormed and just said, actually, the Wolf Ridge tap room had just opened. Adam Walt and I went over there and said, we have to do something. And we really didn't have a way to allocate the kegs back then. In any way, shape, or form, and everybody's just trying to sell beer, and everybody's trying to get people drinking the beer as fast as it was being made. And Adam and I started brewing every other, you know, on the weekend. We were taking turns, and I was brewing every Sunday for a while with Adam, and then we brewed some independents, and we had when we hit 12 on the board, it was like a celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you check out our Untappd, you'll still see some remnants. Mark's couple of his saisons are up there. The Hellion, they were Judas Priest themed beers, and it was a series of three that got cut off at two.
We got it cut off at two. We got busy, so couldn't brew that third one. But there was a saison that we brewed together that we added hibiscus flowers to.
Hibiscus,
and we steeped that into a tea, and it looked like somebody was murdered back there when we were pouring that in because it was so red.
Yeah, we called that hibiscus.
That was the one with sriracha.
Adam sold it to Bodega while I was in Florida, and when I came back, it was already gone, and I never got to try it, and there was a girl at Bodega the next time I was in told me it was the best beer she ever drank in her life.
I remember it being pretty good.
The beer that I would like another shot at, which sounds pretty gross, is the pimento saison that I did.
That was actually, it was good. Remember when the pimentos were like clogging up the lines?
The only problem was I did not use a hot bag for the pimentos, but basically
some of it made it into the keg.
Some of it made it into the kegs. The pimento, you got that peppery flavor from it that complemented the saison yeast really nice, but it just the presentation of it. But it was brewed in honor of the Masters.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
As you get a pimento cheese sandwich, one of the famous sandwiches down there at the Masters.
It was pretty tasty, though, as long as you strained the pimento.
Yeah, as long as you strained the pimento. It didn't last long.
Pour it through cheesecloth off the tub.
Back when we were essentially doing some home brews just to fill up the taproom board. So definitely, if you come down to the taproom now, you're in for much more of a treat on some of those. But
a little more refined product.
Come a long way. Thanks to Chris.
Yeah.
Some of the things coming up on there, we've got a peach smoked wheat. So if you like the Grotzer that we had, it should be a little less smoked than that, and it'll be a little peach with it. It's Patrick's recipe. He's pretty excited about it, and I'm pretty excited about it, too.
Interesting.
Another thing coming up, we don't have a timeline on this one yet, but Key Lime Goes.
So I know we talked about Urban Sombrero earlier this year. That's going to be coming back this fall, which is really exciting. That will be replacing Pool Party, which I will be very sad, but I kind of like Pool Party being a summer beer. And summer is going to be gone, and we're going to be talking about how cold and rainy it is.
While drinking delicious Urban Sombrero.
Exactly. So yeah, tune in next week. We're going to be talking about Bash 500. Chris alluded to it earlier. We're really excited about that beer. All right, well, thanks everyone for tuning in to this episode about nothing. But hopefully you learned a little bit about Land Grant's history, some of the other things going on around here. I want to thank everyone here. Walt.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
That's him. Chris.
Hey.
And Mark.
Yo, yo, yo.
And producer Julie over there making sure we stayed kind of on topic, even though
we had
no agenda today. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. If you're down here at 424 West Town Street, make sure to tip your bartenders. Cheers.
Later.
Just a fact correction from last week. When we were talking about buzzards, I mentioned that they had given the buzzard anthrax, when actually they discovered that buzzards carry a botulism. They have botulism in their gut. And it doesn't kill them. So I knew it was one of those very dangerous, very deadly bacterium, but I used the wrong one. Again, they have that iron gut, but I would not recommend eating them.